Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's version of Raising Expectations. We hope you've had a really good week. It's been a really exciting thing on all fronts around the news, but we're here particularly to encourage and strengthen you and talk about some really neat things tonight. We have a very special guest tonight, but like we always do, I just want to make sure that you get to know the people who are so special in my life, part of the co-host of this great team that we've enjoyed working together. As you know, we have Dr. Paul Hall, who is a retired pastor and theologian. He's still a theologian because he still theologs every day. And Paul does more to help people every day than you can imagine. I hear they follow him around stores. He's just a great guy to talk to wherever he is. Paul, we're sure glad you're here tonight. You are the best. 50 years worth to you. Okay. Yeah. Amen. And then also Rob and Nancy, Commander Rob, Naval Commander, retired, flew the F-14 Tomcats. And he was a trainer of those planes. And now he's a retired special man who works with so many people in so many ways. And we are privileged. He's part of our team. And his wife is Commander Nancy. And we appreciate Nancy.
And I'm certifiably insane. Just let me know, okay?
That's good. Right? That's good. We all want to know that.
You need to know that.
Yeah, keep those texts coming, huh, Rob? That's good.
Yeah.
Leave we just invite you to be part of our family. Yeah, that's right. Just be part of the family. And we also have, now, Rob and Nancy, they're in Arizona, and Paul is in Lompoc, just north of Santa Barbara here in California. And then we go to the East Coast, and we have our Georgia Peach and her husband. We have Stephanie Meyer and Dr. Craig Thayer, excuse me, where'd I get Meyer? I'm just good. Get some coffee. You're the ones on the East Coast. I'm on the West Coast. What's with this, huh, Steph? You call me Fred twice. But anyway, she is a health and wellness coach, and she helps people not just with what they eat, but learning who they are and learning how to handle things in life. She does a tremendous job. And her husband is a trauma surgeon who, when you're in an accident, like we always say, he's the one that I'd show and have there for me. And he also does coaching and helping guys to get in shape and take care of ourselves and our lives right now and what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So as we look at this tonight, we've got a very, very special guest coming. His name is Dr. Jim, or James, if you don't know him, Robbins. And he is probably one of the top, I think, people who understand what's happening in the United States today. He's a college professor. He's got things after his name that are just incredible that he has done. And, for example, he is a tremendous author. He wrote the book, my favorite still, The Erasing of America. They're back at it again this last week with the statue coming down. We can look at that later. But also, he's a senior fellow for the National Security Affairs. He's a great columnist. We won't go into them all. Political commentator and a professor. In fact, he was asked by the president of the school he's with right now to be speaking. He'll be coming in about halfway through for the final half segments, all of them on our program tonight. You're going to really love what he has to say. So as we move right along tonight, there's just a couple of quick questions. You know, Paul, you had a thought on this, and Rob and I talked about it some today, too. And Craig, mm-hmm. I know you, you and Stephanie work with people on this a lot. Paul, tell them last time real quickly what we talked about as he came back in reference to one of our questions about what can we do. Could you just share that for a second with us?
Jim was talking, he was with us last January, and broadcast, he talked about staying positive in a negative world, how we're to openly share our values and to remain positive. So I thought it'd be really good, especially with Steph and Craig with us, Tank. I'd like to talk about how do you stay positive in a negative world? You know, when Steph, when you and Tank are coaching people, you know, what are some of the things that you tell them to encourage them in their walk? You know, can you share a little bit?
I think our environment right now feeds off of negativity. So we have a lot stacked against us just from the onset. But the first thing that we always work with clients on is why they want to be healthier. But the second thing is mindset. And I find that mindset tends to be the hardest for everyone, and it creeps back. So there's things you were probably told as a child or as an adult or by a loved one or a teacher or someone that was a bully, and they somehow became true, even though they're lies, but they're true to you. And changing that is really hard. Like, it's easy to say, just, you know, wake up and be happy. So I know it sounds really corny, but I'm a huge advocate of affirmations. So I have things on my mirror, little sayings like, I am wonderful and I'm going to add value to someone's day. Mm-hmm. I'm a great wife. I'm a great friend. Really simple stuff, because unless you see it and start saying it out loud, it's never going to change how you view yourself. And when you do that, the way you interact with people changes. Mm-hmm. The other thing I would say is that I think positivity is a choice. I don't know anybody that wakes up happy every day, right? Some days are really, really hard, but you can make a decision that you are going to just do one action that is joy-filled. And I tell this a lot with kids, and it's easier for people to understand with kids, but you hear one negative remark, you need 10 positive to counteract that. You know, you put on the news or the social media that's negative, that 10 minutes turns into 100 minutes of you being irritated. So what we allow to come in content-wise, whether it's on here, your TV, radio, really, really matters. And people don't think that it does, but it will turn you sideways very fast, mm-hmm. right? So I'm like, if it does not serve you, cut it out of your life.
Yeah, good point. That's excellent.
Well,
yeah, right. Keep that thought, because I think it's going to come up with him when he comes to us at 9:30. And hey, Rob, you found this great video today that you were sharing. Give us a quick word on that. And then, hey, TJ, as soon as he's done, in light of something positive and something that we get the look at America, goodbye America, but also in light of what Stephanie and Tank are sharing, Rob, give a quick intro on that. And then TJ, when he's done, put that video on, if you would, my friend. We appreciate it.
Yeah, and thanks so much. First of all, for Stephanie, have you seen a big difference in your move from California to Georgia, and how much has changed? Yeah, I figured. And that's good. But I was looking around for Dr. Robbins and found some videos, and I thought he was really right on the mark. And it actually, and there was a video, I think, from maybe 2 years ago in September that he was talking about all of the bad history that our universities and high schools are being taught now. And that needs to change. And I think that's where he is so valuable, because he is part of the truth of American history that isn't being taught anymore. So I'm looking forward to having him back on, but I also look forward to having his video back on here, because by the way, Stephanie and Craig, I wanted to have your sons if they can be available to watch this, because I think they will learn a lot, or maybe they already know what they've been lied to for so many years. And that's one of the biggest problems we have in America.
All right. Well, let's watch. We're good. He's coming in on us right after. So that's, I got 12 after. He may have found another one of those, Rob. He looks like he may have spotted another one. So, TJ, Rob, are you good on that? Is TJ ready? Should we play this as the first one? Remember that one? Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Thank America? You, sir. If you read about it in a history textbook, you probably learned about a land of oppression, racism, sexism, income inequality, police brutality, and imperial wars. Aside from that, it was a great place. That is how America is portrayed in most American high schools and colleges, in America's media, films, and by its progressive politicians. In the words of filmmaker Michael Moore, America is a nation founded on genocide, built on the backs of slaves, and maintained through the subjugation of women to second-class citizenship and economic disempowerment. Is that America's history? Is that who Americans were and are? George Orwell understood that the most effective way to destroy a people is to deny and obliterate their own understanding of their history. History is much more than a collection of facts. History, and our understanding of it, tells us who we are as a people, in the same way your personal memories and experiences define and shape who you are. Wipe out your memory, and you wipe out your identity. When you raise a generation of Americans to hold their country's past in contempt by exaggerating America's faults and ignoring its triumphs, then they will have no respect for American institutions or the beliefs on which the nation is based. It hasn't always been this way. Until the last few decades, liberals and conservatives alike shared a common understanding of America's origins, its history, and its mission of spreading liberty within America and around the world. They recognized America as the country of the Pilgrims in Jamestown, of the self-evident truths of the Declaration of Independence, of the individual rights won through revolution and secured in the U.S. Constitution. This was the country of the frontier spirit, and of almost unlimited possibilities, the country that paid for the sin of slavery with the carnage of its civil war, of economic dynamism and endless invention, of unparalleled individual opportunity, and the country that defeated fascism and communism in the 20th century. Previous generations took all this for granted and reveled in it. So what changed? Starting in the 1960s, a new so-called progressive narrative took hold that sought not to uplift, inspire, and unite, but to demean, degrade, and divide. It sought to replace the pride of American achievement with shame. Ironically, this all happened while America was making extraordinary strides in civil rights, especially for minorities and women. But anything less than perfection, which can never exist given that every society is composed of flawed human beings, is now considered a total failure. And victims of the past are elevated as an indictment of the present. Along the way, all the classic American touchstones have been undermined. According to the progressive narrative, Christopher Columbus discovered America only to despoil it. The founders wrote the Constitution only to codify their ownership of slaves. The great captains of industry enriched themselves only by exploiting the poor. American traditions that were perfectly acceptable even a few years ago, pledging allegiance to the flag, singing the national anthem, even saying Merry Christmas, have been called into question, mocked, and sometimes banned. The outcome of this new nonviolent civil war between those who hold America and its history in contempt and those who, without denying its flaws, revere America, will determine the future of the American experiment, the new history we will make. Is America a country that was built by slavery, or a country that overcame and abolished slavery at the cost of 600,000 lives? Is America a country of rampant discrimination, or an accepting people in active pursuit of a more perfect union? Is it a country of grinding exploitation, or a land of limitless opportunity? The time has come to choose. How will you remember America? I'm James Robbins, columnist for USA Today and author of Erasing America for Prager University. Thank you for watching this video. To help keep PragerU videos free,
that, folks,
please consider making a...
Well, he's right, number one. And he's not getting across to a lot of Americans, number two. And that's the real tragedy. He's been fighting the... he's been fighting all of the progressive movement since the 70s, and there's been so little pushback against all this since then. They basically own public education. They basically own the news media. They certainly own the unions. And they own higher education, and they own the incredibly rotten culture that we're forced to live with, especially with the young kids who are exposed to it. They own the news media. They own the Hollywood. They own.
One thing that grabbed me there, Rob. Mm-hmm. One thing that really grabbed me there was something we were talking about. James has an ability, as we saw in that film, to take a lot of information and put it down, as you've said, and we've all looked at this, into a level where most Americans in society that haven't watched the news, don't care about what's going on, don't realize what's going on. They didn't go to this school or that, or if they did, all they did was anything but study, like you're saying. They don't have a clue. But I think there are a lot of guys out there that are saying a lot of things that are going right over their heads. They're missing the whole point. But he has a gift to bring those facts out that we're saying, to where every common person in America can say, hey, not to quote Phil Donahue as anybody's great, but he used to say, like Dr. Phil, how's it working for you? And if they don't take the time to stop and say, wait a minute, what is going on? Do I look at my country this way? I think we're going to lose them. And that's kind of what's happening in this Newsom thing today out here. But what do you think of that, you guys, of that information going out there? The way he said
my first response is that there's hope, because our two youngest boys, the youngest now 13, is an Eagle Scout. Mm-hmm. He became that 3 weeks ago. The next is 15. He became an Eagle Scout probably 9 months ago. But within that system, it's incredibly American. They say the Pledge of Allegiance with every meeting.
Amen.
They pray. When they go to the Camp Winton, which is in California, I think part of it recently, they have these ceremonies at night that are completely patriotic. You know, it just fires up your patriotism. And so somehow we've instilled that in, I know in those two boys, our oldest, when he was at Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo, speech class, wrote an article on the proposed gun control changes and how they were not smart. Meaning he's pro-gun, the class listened, and then you're allowed, you know, time afterwards to ask questions. First four presenters had maybe five minutes of questions. He had to be sat down because there were we've never been told this before. Oh, my God, we've been, you know, it's like.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Paul, you had kind of mentioned some of that, too. What do you think about that?
Boy, my heart beats with what you're saying, Tank, because I was fortunate because I had a love for history. I wanted to know what happened. How did this come about? You know, how did we get where we are? I see us repeating a lot of history from the late 30s, early 40s, some of the things going on in Europe. But patriotism, you know, I'm so proud. I used to say, "Cut me, I bleed American." You know, it always just. I remember when just a quick aside. I remember when I first transferred to Santa Barbara High School, from a small high school in Southern Illinois. And one of the first things I saw was a kid walking down the hallway with an American flag sewed on the butt of his jeans. And that just incensed me. You know, how does anybody do that? And of course, you know, that got to be a really popular thing in the 60s, were crazy and things like that. But I sure would like to see. I think, Tank, you know, maybe to speak to one thing you're saying, too, is as the revisionists get hold of our history books and they rewrite the history and they take things out and add, you know, their perspectives on it, we're losing an awful lot. You know, our kids, do they really read real history? You know, what the original sources, or, you know, where is that? You know?
Yeah, never heard that. So,
well, and the other good news is that we've discovered a school through our health coaching called Valor Global Online. Christian based heavily. I mean, has a chaplain as a required half hour of their courses. The teachers are incredible. They're Christian and love their students. We had a get together so that they are, and then we'll break up into regions. So we're now in the South, and we'll meet in Florida coming up here over. But so they get together, they know each other as Hollywood Squares. But now they get to see their people in 3D, so they connect, right? So, but it's all about, it's global. So they've got sites and places you can travel for mission trips and learn. It's not just our world. And after the Eagle ceremony that our boys went through together, which is kind of cool, and they were almost reciting what they had to recite back in complete unison as if they practiced it. But it was very moving. But it's clear that the Scoutmaster imposed a great sense of responsibility to lead with light and positivity and get out in the world and change it. At least in some areas.
I think there was definitely a movement of parents that are saying, hold on, this, it's not okay. We need to educate our children in the right way. But unfortunately, that generally is possible for the more affluent. So if you're socioeconomically disadvantaged, you may not have a choice, right? You have to take the public school. And if you're in a more liberal state, you know, kindergarten in California, you can't opt out of LGBTQ education because it's not sexual, it's discrimination. So it's a little bit horrifying. You know, my 6-year-olds could care less. They were playing in the sandbox and running around and trying to have snacks. So I think one of the things that's interesting that we've noticed with our boys, one of them actually sends me videos all the time from YouTubers and different people that are advocates. I had no idea how much content he was consuming that was really good content. And we, you know, locked down our computers and all that kind of stuff. But I think they observe you, and if they see you having good positive values and what, then they're more likely to take that in. So that family unit matters a lot, because even if they're getting fed some other things out there, they're going to take that with more value.
Yes. Yeah.
I think, Stephanie, you've raised a really good point. And I think a lot of what's been going on in America with children has been the fault of parents. They have been brought up in post-60s progressive education and indoctrination and everything. And that's the very thing we need to fight against, because they're the ones that are putting stuff in our children's brains that are wrong and bad and evil. And that's what needs to change. And that all boils down to the parents again. I just don't get how everybody tends to accept, you know, the lousy music today, the culture today, the Hollywood today, the public education today, the higher education today. And I think that's what really needs to be fought against aggressively. I don't mean to like say, well, I don't like your, you know, what you're, I don't like your tone. I don't like what you're talking about. And I'm thinking just slap them up, but that's me. I'm kind of funny though. But I think it's a true story. I think they are indoctrinating children at a very young age. And that's what is exactly needed to stop it. And we need to figure out who's making all of this stuff happen. And I think we just need to beat them up. But I'm
just kidding. Yeah. Well, there's got to be a narrative, all right. Yeah. We want to know, Rob. Is the Tomcat got the is the ordinance?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've lived 67 years, and I've found that over most of my life, since the 70s, a lot of folks have broken into the American public education system who are neither qualified nor ideologically loving America, and they're the ones that need to get their nose punched. Yeah. And that's what needs to happen. Okay, or worse, but I won't go there. But
how do we? Yeah,
maybe I will.
What do you think, Paul? Boy,
run to the gun, man. Run.
It's very hard when Larry Elder is walking down the street and they throw eggs at him, and then they come up and some lady in a gorilla cap and they start to attack him, and they're staging it so that they can have a confrontation.
The best was a peaceful, loving leftist liberal in a gorilla suit who
wanted
to express her point of view in a way that made everybody think, well, okay, she's going to throw an egg. All right.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is the kind of people they are. Peace-loving, leftist, liberal.
Well, the best thing said about that, maybe you guys saw it, was on the news later that night where they said, Laura Ingraham said, all I want to know is that a Biden-approved mask? So, which is different. It was not a Biden-approved mask, not a breathing mask. But anyway, that was kind of interesting. We're looking at about, we've got about 2 minutes. So let's you know, normally you get a show and things like this that we do, and we'll come in and we're loaded in with certain questions and such. But that video and things that we looked at, thanks, Rob, that you found that, I mean, it's just so spot on, and it just tells it simple. Is this the America you want? I kind of am feeling maybe we think about a question you might want to get him, but maybe just lead him off that we listen to that video and how does he interpret that and see it right now? And let's let James talk to us. He should have about 25 minutes, 20 minutes. And we're bringing him back real soon. He just didn't want to miss the program. He's just such a great guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jim's a great guy. And again, I think I don't really fit into current society because I think that things need to be far more aggressive than what we're seeing right now. You know, there's a lot of talk. There's a lot of media discussion. But this is
A good picture of you, Rob, at Annapolis with your mother. Very good picture you put up with your mom. And she had a look on her face. Yeah, and you didn't look too aggressive at that point. It's the moms of our life, isn't it, that are special?
I changed because America needs people that will be willing to fight and defy death. And I think that's one thing that's missing a lot. There aren't a lot of people that are willing to stand up for their principles or have honor. And actually, my one of my biggest problems over the last week was the media telling us that, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the chairman of, problem with the Navy and all that stuff happened because they don't have any principles. They have no honor. They didn't resign because they thought there was, I guess, more important things like, I don't know, supporting their own careers. And these are the very people that ended up getting promoted. And I could go on for hours about that. Yeah. And I think that's a really big problem because they neither supported the president who decided to have our troops withdrawn in Afghanistan. And nobody stood up for it except for one single lieutenant colonel who stood up and said, this is wrong. And, you know, of course, he got fired. He got forced to retire. And all of this is wrong. This is all just completely wrong.
Yeah, this the only thing we can go back to is really it's true. But somewhere, somehow, and I think James alluded to that, Jim did last time, that there is, we go through things like this. This truly is the worst we've ever seen. I mean, like Stephanie said, if I watch too much news, my stomach just starts to turn and churn. It's just so frustrating.
Stop watching the news.
But yet we can't put our head in the hole because most ostriches that do that, they don't have a big enough bumper to not get run over. So just we need to know what's going on. Yeah, yeah. So, hey, Paul, when he comes on, why don't you welcome him and welcome him on and you could lead in with that thought. You had a couple of great notes from last time he was on, and well, hopefully they let him out. Of course, when the president, the guy who hires you to teach the class, yeah, he's...
we have a president? Really?
Of the school, not the nation. The school, yeah.
Oh,
the school.
I guess I shouldn't go there.
Somehow in all of this... somehow in all of this, we know his steps are planned. It tells us in Ephesians, God knows what's going on. No surprises. I'm getting a lot of surprises, and it really bothers me too, and a lot of us. But somehow in this, I'm real anxious to see what Jim's idea of this is, because last time when it all began to take place, so many horrible things have happened since January, like Paul was saying. That I mean, my goodness, what do you think now of what's going on from Afghanistan? Go ahead, Tank.
I was going to fire a theoretical question to you guys. If 9/11 were to happen today, how do you think the country would act?
Yeah, good question, huh?
I'm sorry, Tank. Could you repeat that?
Okay, so if 9/11 were to happen again today, how would our country react? Because before we were very patriotic, you know, and the ceremony was off. But I'm not sure we'd be the same.
No, I agree. And I think that's one of the biggest problems we have. We don't have patriots. We don't have people that are willing to fight back. And I worry so much that this is not going to end up well with us. And it's something that, you know, I've been struggling with for a long, long time. When we look at the last 20 years, you know, part of me thinks, well, we won the war on terrorism. But that's because in the last 20 years, we didn't have any terrorist attacks in the United States. Now, another part is we... failed because we didn't aggressively enough try to get Americans to understand that this is going to be a lot worse and it's going to last a lot longer in the long war on terrorism. And I don't think Americans really understand that yet. I think we are in a very long war of a clash of civilizations. I think we are dealing with Western civilization versus, a very primitive Middle Eastern civilization. And yeah. I don't know that a lot of people are smart enough to understand any of this stuff. So, again, I...
Well, there's three classes of society. You remember, Rob, we talked about this. There's three classes of society. You used to be in the feudal state that everybody lived in the castle and everybody worked the fields and took care of them. Then we found three classes of society where everybody had a chance. Everybody in a three-class society has an opportunity. Yeah. And if wokeism takes over, we're straight back to the feudal era where those who are the elite will run everything and the rest of us will wonder what's going on. Mm-hmm. So, but I sure want to see what Jim has to say about what do we do now? What do we do? Because we have to be wise. Wise as serpent and gentle as doves in many ways, the scripture says. But, the truth always comes out. It's just how much damage will there be before the truth settles like
soil. Dr. Joel, I think it's very true. I think that there are a lot of people that need to wake up and decide that they're either going to be patriotic Americans or they're going to submit to whatever it is that the media tells them or whatever the government tells them. And I don't accept that at all. I will not submit to that because everything that I've been reading tells me that the main media sources of information are lying to everybody.
Exactly.
So many people believe it. I just can't comprehend that. I can't comprehend the fact that Americans here are buying into the lies.
Yeah, exactly, Rob. You remember Evan say it when he said, when's it going to get there? Again, Paul brought that question. When are we going to get when we see it? He said, when it gets so bad, all of a sudden they wake up and they say, what happened? What about? And where am I? Yeah. Some people are saying in California, as bad as things have been, until they're not bad enough yet to make them say, wait a minute, we got to change something. Yeah. So maybe the whole nation in some ways. Then again, it's a coastal situation. You have the blue states on the east and the west running everything from a wokeism type mentality. You got the red center of America who believe the Bible, your family, your church, and your home. Except for Georgia. That's on the East Coast. Go ahead, Steph.
Did you hear what Bill Mayer had to say? I think it was this morning. It may have been yesterday. About the two national anthems, and that there's apparently Alicia Keys did one that was like a black national anthem, and he's a Democrat, and he said, "Hold on here, you guys, what are we doing? Even if we said, hey, this old one doesn't suit us, let's come together and have one." So there's starting to be some concern at this big push for constant division. He even mentioned that some colleges are now doing ceremonies all white, all black. How is that a movement to bring people together? That's called segregation, which we outlawed. What are we doing? So I think as these instances become more extreme, people are starting to go, something is very off here.
I better pay attention, right? Exactly. Right. I better pay attention.
Have a conversation about it. What are we doing?
Yeah. Paul, so many times I'll run this by and throw it to Paul, and I'll say, what do you, Paul, say, what is everybody supposed to do? You got a thought, Paul, on Stephanie's statement there?
in the last church I pastored, we had a recovery, Celebrate Recovery ministry. And one of the truths that we would share with people, it was stated, if I can remember correctly, until the pain of staying where you are becomes greater than the pain of change.
Yes.
You won't change. And I think the pressure's on right now. It's so easy to be anxious. We live in anxious times. I'd like to put it in the context, though, that we as Christians have a particular responsibility and a particular privilege to live out the Christ life. We are Christ followers, and I heard a person.
Come on, stop.
People fall in love with us before they fall in love with the Savior. They have to see it in us, not just our words. It needs to be action.
Stop.
The they see us engage in speak the truth in love, as Paul talked about, it'll be more and more difficult. You know, people have already formed their opinions, but we need to see this as an opportunity too, as the pressure continues to mount and push and push and push. It should help us clarify who we are in Christ and what that means.
Yes.
What power he's made available, and do we use it? Do we know how to use it? Are we sensitive to it? Have we been trained? Can we pass it on to the people coming up behind us?
Yes. We all remember what Ronald Reagan said, we're one generation away forever of losing our freedom, and we're sure seeing it now. James is getting ready to check in. He's just got
out of
class. He'll be here in just a second.
Yeah. I was having Rottweiler rescues. Sorry about that.
Paul, that was excellent. That was excellent, Paul. That's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, TJ, can you hear us? We're all family here.
James, I had the honor of talking to a Rear Admiral tonight.
Oh, did? Really?
At the end of his email, he has... The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to
do nothing.
You can't do nothing.
Edmund Burke.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but oh boy, he's good. Yeah, University of Texas.
Who just talked there?
That was Tank.
Oh, that was Tank. Well, yeah. Yeah.
That's it. As one other thing he said, too, on a lighter note, that for Stephanie's viewpoint, another thing he said was, guys, every morning, make your bed. That was the other thing he told all the University of Texas, right? Every day. We've got Dr. Robbins checking in with us now. He'll be here in just a second. And I'm just going to invite him to say a word and let him share his heart for about... 10 minutes, and we'll get him back. We'll get him back right off as soon as we can.
All right, good.
Can someone can you mute Rob's microphone for a minute?
Could you just stop? And actually, I'm seeing Dr. Robbins. Thank you so much, Dr. Robbins, for coming here.
There he comes.
We got you.
Hold there on. We go. In the car, okay.
Oh, stop.
Yeah. Jim, we're sure glad you're here, and I hope your class was great. We said a little prayer for you today, and we want to give you the rest of our time. I'm sure you're talked out teaching. Tell us a little bit, if you would, about what you're doing. And hey, Paul, you got that question you wanted to run by him also, and I'm just going to give it to you, Jim.
Yeah, Jim, thanks for being with us. I think it's awfully good to see you and appreciate you so much. I just had a thought. All of us run in different circles, okay? And I'm real curious for you to share with us what's the discussion going on in the circles in which you're moving right now? What seem to be the real buzz things that people are concerned about that you can speak to? Could you share that with us?
Well, hey, thanks for having me on. I'm in my car right now. I'm not driving my car, but I just hopped in my car, whereas, you know, I could get a light source and talking to you. So it looks kind of funny, but that's the way it is.
That's great.
Yeah. And I just want to plug the Institute for World Politics, where I'm teaching now, which is a graduate school of international relations in Washington, D.C., and it's one of the only, if not the only, such program in the country where the students are taught on the basis of values and are taught about international relations from a standpoint of values. It's an incredible program. Almost all of the people in it are either in government or they want to be in government. So it's really good for me to know that there are people who want to be in our government or already in our government who want to approach their jobs from that standpoint of promoting, defending, and acting on the basis of values.
Man.
I think it's a critical thing. So, okay, so there's my plug for IWP, iwp.edu, if you want to check it out. And so what I'm, hearing a lot about lately, of course, is Afghanistan stuff, given my what I do and what I write about, and how disappointed people are in what happened in Afghanistan, and how avoidable it all was, not just the terrible circumstances of the pullout, which was just a travesty, just completely poorly planned and executed, but really the whole conduct of our 20-year involvement in Afghanistan, which did have its good elements, but which could have been done a lot better and a lot cheaper if we had allowed Afghanistan just to be Afghanistan and try, instead of trying to make it into, you know, Vermont or something.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So they're talking about that a lot. Quickly for our time tonight, in light of everything, Jim, we just looked at your video. Everybody watched again. Get royalties from us. Well, then not a lot, but anyway, no. It's from Goodbye America. You did such a great job lining it out. How do we, like we were talking earlier, how do we as patriotic American families, what do we do? How do we push back? Have you got an insight, some kind of word maybe from all you're seeing to encourage us all or listen?
Oh, well, okay. I'll try to be encouraging, but it's really difficult. you know, when I did that video for Prager that was based on my book Erasing America, which came out in 2018, and which Dennis Prager had highly supported. He's a great guy. Mm. And you know, in that book, I had some like worst case scenarios. This is just from like 3 years ago, of things that I thought might happen. And it is amazing how fast things have happened. I look back at that book, and then I updated it last year, but just how quickly things have crumbled in this country. And, you know, I tend to think that the crumbling has been so swift that the reaction is going to be swift, that people are just using their common sense and looking at what's going on in this country and thinking, this is ridiculous. The powers that be, the elites, whoever they are, the media and academe or wherever they are, have just completely sold out in terms of any kind of support of a traditional, values-based, normal America. And so it's really up to the people to do what they need to do to get it back, whether it's, you know, stand up against these teachers who are teaching kids all of this crazy, faddish nonsense, or, you know, voting in the right people. I mean, I am absolutely convinced that in 2022, the Democrats are going to lose control of the House and the Senate. I'm absolutely convinced of that, which is why they're trying to rush through all this garbage right now, because they know that their time is limited. It's going to run out. And then in 24, we're going to get, you know, Biden or whoever is in the White House then is going to be gone. So, you know, we have to kind of wait it out. But I think that the reaction is coming, and people just have to keep the faith. And there's this like basic American identity that will come back to the fore.
That's encouraging. That is encouraging. Yeah, what do you? We have like 4 minutes, guys. Anybody want to say something? Boy, Jim, we're so glad you're not teaching. Real quick, 4 minutes.
Okay, Dr. Robbins. You know, again, as you know, I'm a Naval Academy graduate, and a couple of days ago, I think Robert E. Lee's statue got removed over down in Richmond. And yet, you know, the Naval Academy is actually having some serious problems of their own, because there are several buildings, including the superintendent's house, who was named after James Buchanan, who ended up siding with the South during the Civil War. And then we had Maury Hall, who was Matthew Fontaine Maury, who was in charge of the coast and river defenses for the Confederate Navy. So now, you know, there's things going on at the Naval Academy that are trying to get erased, kind of like erasing history. Imagine that, Jim.
Yeah, imagine.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jim. Yeah.
And so it's a serious problem here.
You got 2 minutes, Rob. I got 2 minutes. Got 2 minutes.
I go back to George Orwell, where, you know, he talks about in 1984, who controls the past controls the future, who controls the present controls the past, who controls the present controls the past. And that's where we're kind of dealing with things. Yeah. And we have to try to fight that and get everybody back on board with the truth.
All right, Rob, I got to jump in with you there, buddy. But he was going to say something about those statues. What was that? Jim, you going to say something there?
Well, the thing about the statues is I want everybody to understand it's not really about statues. It's about a much bigger issue. And even Donald Trump pointed this out when this all started. It's, okay, you start taking down statues of Confederates, then you're taking down statues of, you know, past presidents or someone like Thomas Jefferson, who, you know, unfortunately owned enslaved people. And then it just expands. It goes to the Constitution. It goes to the very foundation of America. And we saw that in this so-called 1619 project that said, you know, that was the, you know, America's real founding was when slaves arrived. And again, it's not even about slavery. It's about tearing down the entire institution of freedom in this country. It just starts with statues. The statues and the taking them down is a symbol, but what they really want to do is destroy freedom.
Yep.
Wow, that's it. Well, Jim, I'm sure glad that you went out of your way and rather than changing, came to be with us tonight. Thank you, sir. We you don't know how much we respect and hold you up as a friend, but as a great leader, and your insight is just incredible. You know, so we're going to try to get you back. You'll be teaching Mondays for a while, so that might be hard, but we'll
work it out.
We'll do something.
I'll have better lighting next time, too.
Oh, yeah. That'll be a good one. Yeah. You look good. It's a special set. I can tell. Right. It's good.
Kind of moody.
All right. Well, folks, ladies and gentlemen, we're so glad that Dr. Robbins was able to be with us a little. And Jim, we'll be in touch back with you. And we'll be looking up your school and listening about the Institute for world politics and the great things that are happening there. And we think one of the best things they've done is brought you there to teach for them on Monday. So we're behind you and root for you on that one. And remember to tune us in, ladies and gentlemen. You know how to go to our website. I'm not going to go into it for you tonight. This is important. But you know where it is at vbsradio.com/raising expectations. We'll be back next week, and we'll be back with Jim Robbins, Dr. Robbins, as soon as we can work that out. Jim, God bless you and your family, and thanks for encouraging us. We feel better being encouraged. That was good insight, wasn't it, Steph? Good insight.
Thank you, Dr. Jim. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, guys. I love what you do.
Have a safe trip home. Thank you, sir.
We'd love to have you on again, of course.
Amen. We will do it. Thank you, TJ, for working that out for us. We appreciate you as our engineer, buddy. Thanks so much. All right. All right.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.